and our subject is being determined. And when you heard that subject, perhaps you had a scripture come to your mind. Maybe it was forgetting those things behind. I press on to that mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Maybe that came to your mind. But before I mention my theme, scripture, which you probably have already guessed what it is, I think that one important aspect as I develop my thoughts in this service today involves really, it's being determined involves self-examination. So I'm going to start with the verse from 1 Corinthians 11:28, and I'm reading out of the King James, but let a man examine himself so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. It's a scripture that we consider at the memorial season, and that's coming fast to us. It's fast approaching. I know in Orlando, we started this Sunday, which will be actually tomorrow here, a study for memorial season to get our minds and our hearts prepared for that. The season when we commemorate the death of our Lord. We are to examine ourselves, our worthiness to partake of those emblems, as you know, to examine our heart, our motives, our intentions. Are they true to the Lord? And that's part of being determined. Everything that I'm thinking and doing, am I determined to press on to that mark, to develop these things? We may also, I know when we had our testimony meeting to close out the year of 2018, we had brethren express the thought that I'm examining my heart, and you ask for forgiveness if you hurt or injured somebody, either by word or action. And so also I think that as we began the new year, we also must examine our hearts and our intentions and what our focus of our life actually would be. So Paul gives us a further thought in 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you? So this is in the faith that we talk about, the faith once delivered to the saints. It's that same faith that we have now in the year 2019 that was passed on to them through our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. But this faith really is much more than belief. It's much more than confidence, and it's much, much more than trust. It involves much more than acceptance of Jesus' sacrifice as that at-one-ment or the atonement. It involves really having the Lord's sacrificing spirit. So what I'm saying is that self-examination, this determination, cannot just be once a year, twice a year, ending and then beginning the new year. I think it has to be a daily examination of self. So, self-sacrifice. Am I striving to develop the fruits of the Spirit? Not only to develop those fruits of the Spirit, we realize you have to bear fruit. So see it through to it becomes ripened. And we know that our Heavenly Father, through the Son, guides us. And part of that, we realize, is keeping our sacrifice on the altar. That's a daily thing. And so let's go on with the goal. And perhaps as I was talking, you thought of this from 1 Corinthians 2:2. I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So that's that determination. That's a statement. It's a bold statement. But it shows again what our mindset has to be, where the focus in our life must be if we are to be pleasing to our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. So, these are serious words. We pay attention and we focus our attention to the theme of the gospel from Colossians 1:23. And it should then compel us, again, we're not just sitting there, it compels us to go on and grow and develop in a way pleasing to the Father. Those who respond to that heavenly call. And then to be zealous stewards with respect to what? Time, your talents, your resources. And I always like to point out, because I heard a brother give this expression many years ago. All of those who are called have something to give. There's some talent, something the Heavenly Father saw in you that could be cultivated and developed and then again be used in His service. So everyone who has been consecrated, there's something you have to add. That's why as we develop, we'll see many, many body members rightly fit together. Everyone has that important role. So, stewards of that time, leaving all other subjects behind. And there are interesting subjects out there in the world, but we vow that consecration vow to give those up. And I think that's really what I would call the essence of self-examination, of determination. That we can go on, as it says in 2 Peter 1:10, to make our calling and election sure. That's our goal. You know, our goal is Christ and Christ alone. It's a hymn we sing. But what I'm pointing out, these can't just be words to us, brethren. They're not words. They're our life, indeed. Our standing before the Heavenly Father. Also, as we go on, we realize that we have to rely on God's exceeding great and precious promises. And that we give all diligence. And we add to our faith this knowledge and patience and godliness. And add brotherly kindness and charity or love. So we see the progression, the development. And these are the fruits that we're striving to, again, cultivate through our Lord's help and develop to the, become ripe. So I was reminded of our Lord's words. It's Luke 12:48, our Lord's words. For unto whosoever much is given, much is required of him. And, well, some of those requirements, we know them. But it's always a good thing to review them. What are those requirements? What must I do to be pleasing to the Father? To be partakers of that heavenly calling, again, requires much. Paul says we must be Christ. That is, we must belong to Him. And then he continues, ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, Galatians 3:29. It requires that we must really accept the merits of His ransom, the merits of His sacrifice on our behalf. But this is not all. It leads to making that full consecration to God to do His will. And being part of that, we are immersed into Christ's sacrificial death. We receive the beginning of the Holy Spirit. It's brought out in several places. We're just going to mention Romans 12:1, and 1 Thessalonians 4:8. So, present your body as a living sacrifice. That's wholly acceptable to God. And what's it say? That is your reasonable service. It's reasonable to think that it's something's going to be required of you. You've given up your life rights, but again, it's a daily sacrifice. You know this, brethren. I'm just trying to remind us of the seriousness of this call and how much we have to do. Because we are like that lump of clay without form. And He takes us in our lives and He molds us and shapes us into the character likeness of His dear Son until one day, if faithful, we'll be like Him. To see Him as He is. So, it really necessitates being conformed to His character. Like this, as we mentioned, severe testing and trial, just as Jesus endured, called according to His purpose, God states. Although, through then the apostle, we must be conformed to the image of the Son. And we have those steps, again, that we know. That justification, sanctification, glorification, and realizing that much has to be done. And you can look up 2 Timothy 2:12, find out more. If we look at Hebrews 10:22, having our bodies washed with pure water. That's the pure water of the Word. That pure water, showing that truly a child of God does not live by bread alone, but what's the rest of it? From Mark 7:21. But every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And we have listening ears. You know, and there's a big difference between hearing and listening. You can hear, but if you're listening, it becomes part of you. And it goes to your center of understanding then, your memory. You remember the things that you've gone through. You remember the blessings, trials, testings, joys, sorrows. They're all part of that molding of our character in a way pleasing to the Father. Again, we all know, from the heart of stone to the heart of flesh. No compassion to full compassion. Gradually, the heart has been cleansed, washed white, and made pure by the blood of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Isaiah 1, verse 18. So, at the same time, we have to think of the earnestness, the serious matter, sincere desire, determination, by which we should be giving our all to the Lord. Thank you. How much more is required of those who take up this bride class, the call, the chosen, the faithful, as we mentioned? There's one in Philippians 1:20. To my earnest expectation and hope. Ephesians 1:14. The earnest of our inheritance. You know, this earnest of the Spirit, it says in 2 Corinthians 1:22. It's serious matter. You're on trial for life. How much more serious can that be? Your life is hid with Christ, but you are on trial. And again, zealous of good works. The importance of the pledge, our assurance that we receive much from the enlightenment of our minds through the Holy Spirit. If we prove faithful. Again, what's the rest of that? You must prove all things. You study. And then the application comes with it. And sometimes that's really a hard part of it. To apply the things that you've read and studied to your daily life. Look at the things of the world. We have that great increase of knowledge as brought out in Daniel 12:4. You ask a question. How many have cell phones in here? Quite a few people? All right. In an instant, you can ask a question and you get an answer. You know, remember the days, I don't like the expression back in the time, you hear it always, but you had to go to a gigantic encyclopedia, right? And you're turning it and you're looking up something and hoping to find an answer to something when you were studying in school. That's gone. I don't even think they make encyclopedias anymore. But those things are there. Knowledge has increased. There are amazing tools out there that we have at our disposal. I'm not saying that these are the things of the world we have to rid ourselves of, because look at the truth message goes out. We're sending it out here today on the internet. It's given a wonderful opportunity to spread that message of the gospel. Glad tidings of great joy. So, those are wonderful efforts. But the things we are to resist, to rid ourselves of, pertain to the wisdom of this world. The wisdom of the world that take us away from focusing on Him. The people who doubt the existence of God. False religions and so forth. But we must not let those things distract us. Luke 2:49 says, talks about being about the Father's business. Rid ourselves of selfishness, our own gratification, investment in the envy of others. And the world is full of that today. It's illustrated by the words from James. It's James 3:14-17. It concerns the bitter envying and strife in your hearts. Glory not and lie not against the truth. Because a wisdom descendeth not from above, it's earthly, sensual, and devilish. And that's really the trend of worldly wisdom today. They don't need God. They're so smart that they figured everything out. You don't believe me? Just listen to our president. Sorry. He's the smartest man in the world. Think of it. I guess we should be thankful in the States that we have such a leader. But again, what happens? There's envying, there's strife, there's confusion, and every evil work. And we know it's rampant in politics, it's rampant in society. But what is that wisdom from above? It's first pure. It's peaceable. It's easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits. The fruits of the Spirit. And then, the last part I really like, without partiality, without hypocrisy. So, these words from Paul, again, they strike a tone in our hearts and minds, and they point to that theme text. I'm determined not to know anything but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Determined to do these things. Realizing that we want to lay hold upon the Heavenly Father's promises, His Word. We want to study it. The wisdom of His plans and purposes as we have here. I don't read Polish, but I know what it is about. It's that plan. And isn't that the, again, I'm touched by the beauty of the relationship we have with one another. I've come a few miles, and it's the same spirit of truth and understanding. You have this chart. I know in our meeting, we have that chart up there every time we meet. And it's important because that's what it's all about, isn't it? It's about mankind knowing God, being taught of God, a restored perfect earth. So, wisdom of God is a principal thing, it says in Proverbs 4:7 and Proverbs 9:10. The reverence of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So you reverence Him, you trust in Him, and He's going to reveal these things to you. And what does He want you to do? He wants you to follow His Son's example. So following Christ's example, the personification of that wisdom which came from above, an attribute of God our Father, the proven of the base of the divine revelation, and mankind, as I said, he thinks he's so smart. I just saw a thing a little while ago. They studied a moon rock that they brought back to Earth. You know, when we went back there in the late 60s and the 70s, and they found a rock there that they think came from Earth. So, seems far-fetched to me, but they're looking for the origins of life. They're looking for life, the meaning of life. And they just have to get that Bible and look through it, and there's all your answers. But again, it seems too simple. And when you tell somebody about this plan of God, sounds good. You've heard this, right? Has to be too good to be true. But we know it is true because it is the Word of God. And what He has given us is so, so wonderful, brethren. Psalm 145:15 from Psalm. He's given us meat in due season. The things we need to nourish that new mind, that new man, that new will that is developing within us. And as we mentioned, we're all ministers for Christ Jesus. Even every one of us has a need to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. So when it's convenient and when it's inconvenient. Exhort all long-suffering and doctrine. Watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. 2 Timothy 4:2-5. So prove all things. Study, as it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Hold fast that which is good. And what is good? As we mentioned, it's the Word of God, His truth, His plan. And aren't we thankful that we have been called to a knowledge of His plans and purposes? Not a complete knowledge, but we're going to have as much as we need to finish our call, to develop our character, and then be able to stand firm with His help, covered in Jesus' robe of righteousness, to stand firm in persecutions and difficulties that will come upon us. We're supposed, it says, to be able ministers of the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 3:6. We are commissioned to do these things. And do what else? Not only to declare the truth, but do it with patience and gentleness, forbearing, and with giving of the sound doctrine. If you do these things, full devotion of each body member, it does this. It resounds unto the glory of God. Not how good Mike Balco is, or this one or that one, but how wonderful and true the Heavenly Father is. The eternal weight of glory lies there to the faithful ones. 2 Corinthians 4:7. Now, what should our focus be? We're talking about, for I am determined. So that's our focus. Really, three main parts, which we hope to develop as time goes on. The first one is the careful and continual study of God's plan or holy word, which He has done what, as it says in Luke 10:21, hid them from the wise and has revealed them unto babes. Another is the importance of leading and illumination of our hearts and minds through His Holy Spirit. John 16:13. And also Colossians 1:9, being filled with the knowledge of His will unto all wisdom and spiritual understanding. The third one is having an enthusiastic zeal for its accomplishments. Titus 2:14, being zealous of good works. It's that zeal. You know, when we first found that pearl of great price, you're happy, you're joyous. We've heard it expressed along this trip this past month. When I heard that word, I never heard anything like it. I knew it was God's truth. And I was drawn to it. I was drawn to it. So, being zealous of that enthusiasm, as we mentioned from Titus 2:14. But as we develop and we've been in the way, maybe 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years of being consecrated, do you have that same zeal? Is that pearl of great price still precious to you? It has to be. And we're so blessed that we have our brethren who are a little bit older than us, but they're that example. They give those comments. They have that mind of Christ in them, and we see it in their conduct. And they help us all to be better and able to serve the Heavenly Father and His dear Son. So, we want to concentrate our energies upon these things and be very careful in all aspects of our Christian life. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, the chief resurrection to the divine nature. Paul says, not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, that I may apprehend for that which also I apprehend for Jesus Christ. And that's Philippians 3:11-12. Not that I have already received it or I have already been perfected, but I may lay hold upon that for which I also laid a hold upon by Christ. That's the diaglot. So I'm laying hold of these things. He laid hold upon you. You've been bought and paid for with a price. 1 Corinthians 6:20 and 7:23. The blood of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Again, He called us with that holy calling. 2 Timothy 1:9. That you could be partakers of that heavenly calling. And as we mentioned, there's always going to be God is doing His part. Are we doing our part? I'm determined to do the best I can. And you know, it's just so wonderful to think that our Heavenly Father through our Lord Jesus not only shows us the way to go, but he helps us along the way. He helps us, and he's always going to help us. Pressing on to that mark, many requirements. Press on to please God in thought, word, and deed. Proverbs 12:5. The thoughts of the righteous are right. They're right if they fall in line with God's plans and purposes, not going out on our own way. We're told we're to love God, and not in love, but not only in love, but in word and in deed, as we mentioned from 1 John 3:18. And we give thanks to God and the Father through the name of our Lord for all of our experiences that we have. And brother, you know, we might progress at a different rate. But what do we have to do? We must progress. 1 Corinthians 9:26. Not as one that beats the air, but we have to make the promise to be determined to press on, to daily examine ourselves, as we've been mentioning. And to look at the obstacles ahead. We're supposed to do this. We're supposed to lay aside every weight and the sin which thus so easily beset us, and let us run with patience that race that is set before us. Hebrews 12:1. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12:2, the next verse. And also, what is more important than as you go on, it tells us in the third verse of Hebrews 12, lest you become faint and weary in your mind. I know I've become faint and weary. There are trials and circumstances that seem to overwhelm us. But he's with us. And the mind is our special battleground. Your heart's the center of your affections, but that mind, we have to watch out. Hebrews 12:5-8 tells us about the Lord chastening us, every son whom he loves. Brother, do not get discouraged. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to say the wrong things. We're fleshly people. You know, born in sin, shaped in iniquity. But we want to press on and do the things that the Heavenly Father would want us to do. Serve him, trust in him, go on. We look at the examples such as Paul, we've been mentioning, not to know anything except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's, as we mentioned, that's our mindset. That is our goal. And also then to set your affections on things above, as we mentioned from Colossians 3:2. Putting away things that will call attention to ourselves, and realizing that that's displeasing to the Heavenly Father. And then look at those things in the world as being the pastimes of an hour. The nominal system in this world really has nothing to offer. A consecrated footstep, follow the Lord. But that book of life has everything to offer us. I think, again, with that, we realize that for me to live is to live for Christ Jesus, Philippians 1:21. Our business, as our Lord was, is being about the Father's business. Prove ourselves acceptable to the Father. And in so doing, he did it with his whole might, even giving up his life on the cross. And you want to also follow in that. Present your body a living sacrifice. And you lay down your life willingly. Again, the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. We don't give grudgingly, but we give out of the abundance of our heart. Greater love hath no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. John 15:13. And then it goes on to that greatest type of love, that agape love. That if we through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, our flesh, ye shall live. Romans 8:13. And it's really a legacy of peace and understanding. Jesus Christ and him crucified, as we are now discussing. And you know, also, Paul said in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ Jesus. It's a power of God unto salvation to everyone who believeth, to the Jew first in Greek, then to the Gentile. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And we know, that's from the Diaglot, this, for the righteousness or justice of God by faith is revealed therein in order to faith. We know there's none righteous, but what is this? The just, justified by his blood, the truly consecrated. You have a standing before God, as we mentioned, you're covered under that robe of righteousness from Isaiah, once again, 61:10. The righteousness of God, which is by faith in Christ Jesus, directs you, Romans 3:22. So, realizing then, why is these things, are these things so important? The eyes of the Lord are upon you, over the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. 1 Peter 3:12. Now, what about prayer? I think it's so important to have an active prayer life. I'm not going to mention the quotations, but our Lord taught his disciples to pray. We're told in everything give thanks. Men ought always to pray. Pray without ceasing. And that means you're in that prayerful attitude that every step you're taking, you're asking for guidance and direction. And he'll show you that way. Also, you pray in the night watches. Those times of trouble and hardship. The times when you're on your knees and you're expressing your heart, opening up your heart to the Lord, and it's you're expressing just between you and him. And what does he do? He hears your prayer and he helps it you according to his will. Look at, and this is so important, look at Revelation 5:8. We have an important reference to prayer. Again, Revelation 5:8. The golden vials of incense or odors, which are the prayer of the saints. And so it shows us that that incense, what happened in the tabernacle? It went up to God, right? It rose, that incense, and he smells that, and he realizes that you're trusting in him and that he's going to guide and direct you. It's a sweet-smelling savor because it shows your sacrifice to the Lord. He sees all, he knows all, but again, he wants you to express your faith and trust in him in all things. Because God's word is sure. Help me, Father. You know, there's words spoken of thanksgiving in prayers, confession, submission. All these things are important. So an active prayer life is foremost in this time in which we're living. We're never going to do anything on our own. But what are those expressions? What we said? Help me, guide me, direct me, let me improve. It's an active thing you're looking for. And when he shows you that path, you gladly follow it. The worldly mind says, well, that's the way I am. Take it or leave it, right? That's not what we say. We can't. Because we're told to, you're called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. And it says, fulfill ye my joy, be like-minded, have that love, one mind, and go on to please the Heavenly Father, to trust in him, and know that he is working all those things out to our goodness. So what do we have? We have that one hope, one baptism, one faith, one calling, one Lord, and one God and Father of all. So, brethren, again, we are saying we're determined not to know anything except Jesus Christ and him crucified, the importance of the ransom price, the curse of sin and death lifted, paid for by Jesus. Remember, he paid it all the debt I owed. I declare unto you the gospel that which I preached unto you, and therefore stand. So stand and stand firm. You're firmly rooted in the Lord and Savior Christ Jesus and on Christ and the apostles, that firm ground that we realize that gives us a standing before Him, a firm footing, which is so important when these winds, you had winds here, bad winds, right, a couple of days ago? But what happened to the trees? They got blown over. And it happened in our country too. But a tree that's firmly rooted will sway, but it won't bend and break. It'll bend some, but if it's rooted in the promises of God, in faith and trust in Him, it'll withstand those winds of the adversary. So, Christ died for us. We owe our all to Him. We take in these things. We have that transforming power in our hearts and minds that gives us the opportunity to serve and trust in Him. So, these things that we're speaking of, as my time is almost over, for the perfecting of the saints, Ephesians 4:12, it truly leads to the consecrated, to the ultimate realization, ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ. Colossians 3:3. Washed white by that cleansing of the water of the word, Ephesians 5:25-26. In our goal in life, I am determined to do this, as it says in Philippians 2:13, both to will and to do His good pleasure. So, we go on, brethren. We strive to serve Him. We have an active prayer life. We have devotion. We study. And when we study, then the goal is to apply those things and put our total faith and trust in Him. Remember, I am determined. That's my focus along this. It's a narrow way, but I'm focused to go on. And have, I know my pathway is going to be illuminated, but I want to go on and finish these things. And here, just think of that again. Blessed is in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints, Revelation 14:13. And we all shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment and in the twinkling of an eye, 1 Corinthians 15:51. And we will, if faithful, see Him as He is. We look up at this, up in Gympie, we saw the Southern Cross and so forth, so many stars. And you know, there's like, I forget the exact number, a couple years ago, it's like 100 quadrillion stars. Think about it. You can be a star in heaven. Named of God. A new name. Given to you. See Him in glory. Heirs of glory. And honor. And immortality. And that's my prayer for you. That each one can continue faithful. Fulfill your vows of consecration. Uplift the brethren. Give them help and support. And go on that narrow way. Being determined to reach His end. And with His help and guidance, you will. May the Lord bless you all, good brethren.